We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal. The Solid
Verbal. Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal Boys and Girls. My name is Ty Hildebrandt. Joining me as always over there in rainy, very rainy New York City, my man Dan Rubenstein. Sir, how are you?
I am super excited for Marie Kondo Part 2. Is that what we're doing? That's what I prepared for. No!
We're doing a Q&A show tonight.
Well, it's sort of a Q&A show, right? We asked for a specific topic, we have a specific theme, and we just used people to help us source the actual topics.
Yes.
So it's not a full Q. There's a section of it that is creatively Q&A. I guess the whole thing is creatively Q&A, but it's very specific. And I particularly like this topic, and I like this kind of show, because I can throw out a number, a likelihood number. That's the theme of our show, is coming up with likelihood percentages of certain events happening or not happening. And when they do happen, I can say, psh, nailed it in June. And if it doesn't happen, if, say, Penn State goes 0-3 against Michigan schools and Ohio State, I can say, you know, I was confident then, but, you know, it was an exercise.
Right, right.
And, you know, you got to feel through the motions to combine like three different idioms. So
a show like this is at no risk to the host.
Love a good hedge.
No risks at all whatsoever to the host. Hi, I'm Ty. He's Dan. SolidVerbal@gmail.com is the email as always. Or you can go out to SolidVerbal.com where you can find all our old episodes, how to subscribe. You can also sign up for our newsletter, which I know I've been teasing this now for weeks and months and years on end. You probably want to sign up for the newsletter soon, because we've got stuff in the works. I say it every week. I'm not BSing you. Trust me, I'm not BSing you.
Ty's running.
No, I'm not running. I have been talking to you, Daniel, more over the last 3 weeks, I'd say, on a daily basis than ever before. I gotta say, I still like you. You're still a good dude.
I disagree. But I appreciate you thinking that externally. We've had a lot of war room discussions, a lot of Google documents, more so than usual.
And yeah, a lot going on.
I'm pretty excited for whatever this potential next version of the Solid Verbal is, because it's been a long time coming.
Also, don't forget to follow us out there on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and there's a subreddit. We didn't start it. We moonlight as Redditors from time to time on our own subreddit, but it's mostly just a bunch of super verballers out there at reddit.com/r/solidverbal. If you want to talk about all the episodes, if you want to contribute feedback after the fact, during, while you're listening, what have you, it's out there. We've got a teeming community.
See if you can spot Ty's anonymous account.
No, I don't. Do you do that?
Subreddit.
I don't do that.
I'm going to give you a hint. It might be It might be Barry Alvarez's butt cheeks. I'm not going to say that's for sure. And you know what? I'm very excited after I made the Nick Saban deepfakes joke that there is a user, Nick Saban deepfakes.
That's great.
So I think if we just keep making very specific jokes about coaches, eventually people will keep having to sign up. They'll have to sign up for the Reddit, the subreddit, and there will just be a Barry Alvarez's butt cheeks. That's just how it works on Reddit.
Well, Daniel.
Congratulations, Skippy. You've got mail.
You've got mail
on the Solid Verbal.
As often as we can, we like to pay homage to those of you who write into solidverbal@gmail.com. But over the course of time, you know, that's expanded. It's not just the email. It's also the Facebook, also the Twitter, also the Instagram, also the Reddit. Any which way you can get a question to us. We've done our best here to compile that into a trusty Google document. We're going to work our way through it. As you mentioned at the top, we've got some likelihood questions. We've also got some other choice questions.
What we is will it? Tease it out.
We will tell you when the football portion of this here show has reached its natural conclusion before we dive into some of the other topics.
I think it's just one main topic, Ty.
It is corporate bathroom etiquette, correct?
Corporate bathroom etiquette, behavior, recommendations, strategies. This is something that, if all works out in the universe, you will dedicate your life, books, podcasts, merchandise, self-help seminars, to explaining how to be the best bathroom attendee.
We will get into all that and more. Before we do, I got an email here. I just want to cover this briefly. A gentleman by the name of Adam, who listens religiously to the show, writes in to say that his father, Fred, a Notre Dame fan, a verballer, currently suffering from lymphoma.
Oh, no.
He just wanted to know if we could give him a shout out, and I thought we'd be happy to oblige. So, Fred, if you're out there, if you're listening, do your best. Keep up the good fight. Keep watching those Irish and stay solid, all right?
Yeah, shout out, Fred.
All right. Where do we want to go first, Dan?
Okay, so the exercise is quite simple. We asked for you to submit a potential 2019 situation. Say, like I said before, Penn State goes 2-1 against the Michigan schools and Ohio State. I believe two of those are on the road. And we are just going to come up with a percentage of this is how likely it is to happen. And in my mind, I'm thinking about, like, if the season were played 100 times, this many times and this many simulations, it would actually happen. If that jibes with how your brain is working,
sure.
Great. If not, whatever. So let's start there. Penn State, who is a little bit thinner, had a lot of transfers this past offseason, which is going to happen with, you know, recruiting on the high level that they did. I think they finished with, in terms of class, I think they were top 10 with regard to like the average grade. So they're bringing in a ton of great athletes. 2-1 or better against Ohio State, Michigan State.
2-1 or better.
That's from the Maui beer guy.
I'm going under. So if I'm putting a percentage on that, I understand. I already broke the rule. I'm sorry. 33% chance that they go 2-1 against that competition.
Yeah, I've got 30%.
Yeah.
It's a tough road. What do you hear? Like when you put your ear to the ground, Eastern PA.
Are you asking for some inside information here?
What are you hearing about Sean Clifford?
I don't know what I'm hearing, to be honest. I am hearing in general, I think, an optimistic tone from a lot of Penn State fans. Sean Clifford, okay. He was a 4-star kid. Mm-hmm. Sean Clifford had an opportunity to play a little bit last year.
Yep.
All in all, the reviews on him were pretty positive. He played in the spring game. Remember, we thought Tommy Stevens was going to be the guy, but Tommy Stevens is moving on. So
starting at Mississippi State.
Yeah, he'll be at Mississippi State. So, you know, I think the reviews on Clifford have been positive, but I think those are very much tempered by the fact that he's not Trace McSorley. And therein lies the source of the angst if you're a Penn State fan, because Trace was there.
Sure.
Obviously, the most winningest quarterback in the history of the program, set a ton of passing records, and was a winner through and through. It's a lot to go from, first off, an offense that had Joe Moorhead and Saquon Barkley, Trace McSorley, and a better receiving core, and now kind of dwindled down because college football naturally cycles itself through, to essentially a whole new cast of characters. So I think there is cause for optimism, but also cause for a little bit of, like, let's wait and see with Clifford.
So you're saying it's not super likely that they win two of those three?
I don't think so. No, because the Ohio State game's on the road late in the year. Ohio State's going to be tuned up for that one. You know it.
I'm pretty sure Ohio State and Michigan both have pretty easy. It's like Rutgers before for Ohio State, and I believe it's Illinois before Penn State for Michigan.
Yeah, and on the Penn State side, they're on the road at Iowa a week before they come home to play Michigan. And then that game is a week before they travel to East Lansing to play Michigan State. So that's a tough stretch there in mid to late October. You can say that they're not going 2-1 against those three teams and still mean no disrespect to Penn State. I would expect Michigan and Ohio State are both going to be pretty good this year.
We got a couple of these. Well, first of all, we also got is James Franklin going to be the coach next year or in 2 years or in 4 years? And man, Penn State fans. Wow. Tough.
I'd put it at 60%.
That he will be in, I think, 3 years?
60%.
Three or four? Yeah. I'd put it right around there. Yeah. I think more likely than not. Seth Luttrell coaches a Power 5 team in 2020. North Texas has done well, has been on this show, has done a really good job as part of a development team for quarterbacks everywhere. Nick Foles.
Right.
A couple guys at North Carolina. Mason Fine. Was name was brought up for Kansas State this year. Went to Oklahoma from Oklahoma. Doesn't look like an Oklahoma job will be available. But if we're focusing Southwest, South, do you think Seth Luttrell is a Power 5 coach?
I think it's going to happen.
What's the job? What's the range of job? I could see dominoes if Matt Campbell leaves Iowa State. Do you leave North Texas for Iowa State?
Probably not. No, not if you're Seth Luttrell.
I think he can wait on something.
He can definitely wait on something. The question is, will he? You know, even if it's not a job in the heartland where maybe he's more familiar.
Right.
Or in the Texas
SC
area.
SC opens up or something. Yeah.
Someone's going to want his services, even if
it's
not.
Is SC too big a job for Seth Luttrell?
Probably.
Who? It's going to be Jack Del Rio again?
He's always in the running, Dan.
Seth Luttrell does a great job at Arizona, running that offense for a number of years. There's part of me that says that USC would whiff on their first three.
Well,
and
of course.
Suddenly, Seth Luttrell is
That's how you get Jack Del Rio.
But maybe Graham Harrell is suddenly a USC guy. And we had somebody asking us, I think it was One Fell Swoop, a long time for Baller, about Graham Harrell. And could he potentially take over? We have a couple of USC success catapulting Graham Harrell into Power 5 job consideration. Or Graham Harrell takes over as an interim guy if Clay Helton is fired midseason, which I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know what the point of that would be unless he's putting players in danger or something. That's a big leap for Graham Harrell. I think he's 34. That feels like a huge leap, but maybe he has huge success. I think Seth Luttrell, I'm saying yes. I think more likely, I'm going to say more likely than not. I'm going to say 55 now. I'm
55.
That.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going a little bolder with 80. I think it'll happen. I can't tell you honestly where, but my guess is with the way he's turned North Texas around in very short order, someone's going to want those services.
Mentioned it just momentarily. Matt Campbell is still the Iowa State head coach following the end of the 2019 season.
This is kind of the same question, right? It's kind of the same question. Matt Campbell, obviously a lot higher profile.
I mean, he's succeeding at a Power 5 place, yes.
So I guess the question is, all right, where else would he go? Because it's a little bit of a different scenario in the case of Campbell because he would be looking for a step up.
For sure.
What would that step up look like for Matt Campbell? I don't know. Again, I thought he would have left after last year. That didn't happen.
What job?
I don't know. Again, stop trying to pin me down on specifics.
I mean, Ohio State was the Ohio State job was the one that he was tied to before it was became clear that Ryan Day was just going to ascend to the head coaching position.
I still feel like it's more likely than not, but my confidence, I got to be honest, is pretty damn shaken after last year. So I'm going to go 52%.
I have 41. I don't think he's going to be, but I think we are due for a good number of Big Ten changes.
Was the
I don't know what it is.
Was the question he will be or he won't be?
He is still Iowa State. So by me saying 41, I'm saying it's less than 50-50 that so he is.
Let me go inverted version of my previous statement and say 48%.
48%. So slightly less than toss up.
Correct.
What are the jobs if, because he's from Ohio, which again, that doesn't necessarily, he could go to USC. Sure. And that, I think that would be a nice win for SC.
Yeah.
But what are the jobs that presumably, if he is going to be picky, which I think he should be, I think he's going to be in demand enough being young, energetic, and well-liked and recruiting super well. I think he can be choosy. So what does that mean to you?
It could,
like, he,
it
could, blue blood only?
It could mean the NFL.
Could mean the NFL.
And I think that's, you know, short of knowing details about who's on the hot seat and who isn't.
Right.
I think that seems like a more likely scenario. Somebody in the NFL would want him.
You think so?
I think so.
Has his name come? I know James Franklin's name has come up.
If James Franklin's name's coming up, Matt Campbell's name should come up too.
I would say to never count out the Michigan schools right now, just with, I mean, D'Antonio might be there for the next 35 years. I don't know, at Michigan State, but we'll see with Harbaugh. I think he'd like to be there for a long time, but who knows? Other than that, there's not, you know, you could have a surprise retirement like Kirk Ferentz or something.
What about,
it's not blue blood.
What about a job like UCLA? If your theory holds.
If my theory holds.
And Chip Kelly calls it quits. That could be an intriguing place to
tough
hire.
Job.
Hire a young up-and-coming coach.
I think he's just going to keep waiting for a Midwest or Southern blue blood.
We keep waiting for the thing with Gus Malzahn to explode at Auburn. I'm not convinced at this point it ever happens, but they would probably be interested.
Oh, it'll definitely happen.
Eventually it will.
It will definitely happen.
Eventually it will.
That'd be such a wild fit. I love that. Oh, I can be talked into that right now. Matt Campbell at Auburn.
What's Matt Luke's status at Ole Miss?
I mean, he's there.
He is there.
He's showing up for work. They're riding out their situation. I don't think Matt Campbell needs to go to Ole Miss.
Just throwing out potential here, Dan.
I think he can be choosier than Ole Miss. Next one. I love this one. Alabama has two losses before bowl season.
Whoa. Before bowl season, eh?
Yes. I have it at 2%.
Two regular season losses is what you're saying.
Two regular season losses. I have it at 2%, but I'm curious to hear from you. What are the two games? And I have Alabama's schedule up right now.
Yeah,
so
I've got
road game-wise, just give me their two most likely. Road game-wise, it's Duke neutral. God, that sounds like such a good name. South Carolina, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, Auburn. With Mississippi State coming traditionally as it does after the LSU game,
right
on the road.
I guess you got to throw A&M in there.
A&M's a very difficult place to play.
Difficult place to play. Kellen Mond back.
A couple years ago, had a made plays against Alabama.
Good coach that I've got confidence in. They've recruited well.
Year two, Mike Elko. Yeah,
A&M I think is a possibility if we're gonna.
Mm-hmm.
Split hairs. There is the Auburn game late in the year. We don't know what's going to happen at Auburn. There's some turnover at Auburn, especially at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But presumably by late November, they'll have that sorted out. Lord knows by late November last year, they didn't sort the running game out, which could be an issue again this year if they don't figure something out in the interim. But the Mississippi State, I'm still not buying in on the Mississippi State upset potential there.
Wow. Okay.
I like Joe Moorhead, but and then the other game, I guess, that jumps out at me regular season-wise would have to be LSU.
I can't do it. I actually have Mississippi State and Auburn, and mostly for situational reasons. A week after LSU and going to Starkville with what I still believe to be a coach who can engineer a pretty decent offense any week of the year in Joe Moorhead. Auburn, Gus Malzahn supposedly is back in control of this Auburn offense. So situationally, more time for Alabama players, not hoping this on anybody, to get hurt, perhaps crucial ones. So I have late in the year as being those answers because I don't see that obvious team that has that mix of fearless quarterback, tall receivers, and defense who can withstand Alabama. I don't see that combination, but if I'm going to buy low on anybody, right now it's Mississippi State. And hey, maybe Tommy Stevens is pretty good. Knows Joe Moorhead's system.
So what I'm going to do is the thing that I see them doing all the time on like 538. I'm going to go a less than 1% chance.
Oh, yeah.
There were no stipulations in your rule set that these needed to be positive integers. So
that's true.
Give me like a 0.8% chance of Alabama with two losses pre-bowl season.
I don't believe Nielsen rates shows that are below a certain threshold.
That's right.
Like I think it's like 10,000 viewers or something. So yes. It's NA.
NA, yeah.
NA, that okay.
That works for me.
Next item. Let's do a good one. I like this one a lot. Oklahoma fields a top 50 defense this season.
I like
it. New hire, Alex Grinch.
I like the question.
Now, when we say top 50 defense, we have to be specific. You could do yards per play. I have tended to gravitate these past couple of years to points per drive. It's okay. Nice and it's pace adjusted. I like that.
This is also sort of your own made up statistic.
It's not. Brian Freemo has a site that does this and it eliminates garbage time. It is legit. He is half of the F plus system. I'm all in.
I mean,
this is no longer Danalytics.
You can divide anything by anything and come up with your own stat.
That's true. But this is more official. He's part of Football Outsiders.
I trust him. I know the name. So I don't mean to.
Yeah. No, you're casting aspersions.
I don't mean to cast aspersions, but I still feel like this is a little bit of a made up statistic. Just me.
How is it made up?
It's a made up.
It's just easy. He eliminated garbage time.
Okay. What do you got?
So this is what I'm using. I think it's nice. So I say 60%.
Okay.
I think it's more likely than not that Oklahoma has a huge rebounding season on defense because I don't know how much I fully trust offenses with new coaches, new quarterbacks in the Big 12. Last year was really fun because it was a bunch of returning guys. This year, we'll see. We will see. I mean, there's a ton up in the air with Texas Tech, with Kansas State. I mean, let's not be super worried about Kansas, but TCU as basically a brand new quarterback room. I'm feeling bullish about Oklahoma fielding a confusing ghost. What did I say? Seeing ghosts.
Yeah.
A ghostful defense in Norman. When Alex Grinch was at Washington State, his worst points per drive defense, if that's a metric that we're comfortable with, was 53rd nationally with lesser talent. So pace adjusted, even if there is a lot of points and yards in Oklahoma games, I think it's more likely than not that they're an actual pretty good defense with a full offseason reboot.
What was Oklahoma's rating last year by your metric?
Oh, was it not good? It was in the hundreds.
Okay.
I can dial it up right now. You know, pin my ears back.
Sure.
Dial up.
Big 12 is a tough conference if that's going to be
113th.
Yeah. You got a lot of high-powered offense in the Big 12, and that's not apt to change anytime soon. It's just sort of the style of play. We've said for a long time that, first off, if you're Oklahoma, you don't necessarily need to get into the top 50 to make a sizable impression with a competent defense. It just needs to be somewhat more competent than it's been. That would have made a serious impact over the last couple of years if it were the case in Norman. I don't know what statistic we should use, but I know that Alex Grinch has been really good everywhere he's been. Mm-hmm. And furthermore, he's made a pretty immediate impact. So I am more inclined to believe that it's going to happen than not. What do you say, 60%?
Said 60%.
I'll go 65%.
65%?
I really trust in Alex Grinch. I do.
Stanford was the 50th last year nationally in defensive points allowed per drive.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't think that's a crazy threshold. Next item, Ty. We will hear, so likelihood, percent chance, we will hear about Kirk Ferentz's tenure at Iowa and the culture he has built in Iowa City. I have it as 147%.
Yeah, I think that's right.
You've got to admire what Kirk Ferentz has built here at Iowa. He is the dean of Big Ten coaches.
Can we talk briefly about the time we interviewed Kirk Ferentz?
He was great. Again, we can.
Very nice.
Yeah.
A little short on personality, but that's fine. He's a football coach.
Those are your words. I thought he was delightful.
Very nice guy. No, very nice guy. But honest to God, we could quit this show tomorrow, and if you asked me one of my top 10, top 15 moments of doing the show, mm-hmm. it would be that moment when we asked Coach Ference, what is your favorite TV show? And he didn't. He did not have an answer.
They're not like you and I, Ty.
I know, but he did have an answer. He didn't even make one up. He didn't even try. He's like,
I respect that. There are some people who will answer that question and make up an answer. And they'll just say, I don't know, Sopranos. Like, oh, yeah? Anything resonate? The Italians. I respect him saying
no,
that.
No, I'm not TV. Saying I lost any respect for him.
Yeah.
It was just, it was such a moment where you could see that he had nothing. And he didn't really try to make anything up. He had nothing. It's such a common question. And he's like, nah, it's just, I don't know. I got no idea.
You ever get asked like, hey, you reading anything good?
I hate that question. I hate that question.
Like, Huck Finn?
I never have an answer.
I mean, I sometimes read books and I sometimes don't read books because I stare at screens all day. And sometimes I just like zoning out and hanging with my wife and eating Greek food or something.
I desperately want to be known as someone that reads a lot of good books.
Yeah.
I can't honestly say I've read a full book in a long time.
And really?
Most of the time, this is a show about honesty.
Mm-hmm.
If I've got an hour to kill at night, we're popping in FIFA 19, dog.
God. I thought you retired.
I did. Well, I retired for a while, but then they put some new cards out.
Oh, pulled you back in.
Yeah, I actually think they adjusted some of the difficulty to make it seem a little easier. I also stopped playing online and started playing in the offline dynasty mode where I've got difficulty cranked way down.
You put some bumpers on it.
It's more fulfilling now. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I am reading a good book. I happen to be reading a good book now. But so if anybody wants to read Range by David Epstein, I recommend it. It's really good.
I tried the audiobook thing. It's just, it's...
I don't mind that. Especially for road trips or long commutes, they're good.
I did listen to... actually an audiobook, the full drive home from your wedding in Chicago. That was fun. But
Solid's wife Kate got sick and you guys had to you were grounded.
That's right.
Okay. The percent chance that Army goes into the Big House September 7th beats Michigan.
Ooh, Army's gonna be pretty good this year.
I like that sound you just made. Yeah, they'll be good.
Army's going to be pretty good this year. They may not beat Michigan, but they're going to be pretty good this season.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they play September 7th.
Mm-hmm.
Tough system to prepare for.
Their coach should be at Kansas right now.
Wow.
Michigan loses a good amount up front.
Didn't Army have Oklahoma on the ropes? Was it last year or the year
before?
They
did. Yeah, and that was on pay-per-view. The great Twitch night of 2018. And everybody looked at like, oh, Kyler Murray only had 120 yards, but it was like 15 yards per attempt or something.
That was
last year.
It probably shouldn't be higher than like 10%.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put it at like 16%.
I got it at like 40.
Really?
Yeah. There's going to be something weird early on this year with a national title contender. It's been so boring with the top teams, the teams that are allegedly contenders. I think it's going to be a very strange September. And this is one of those reasons. So it's less likely that it happens in my mind. But, man, to just like jump into the season, I don't know. Who does Michigan have week one?
I'll pull it up.
Okay. But to jump into the season, they have Middle Tennessee, which been a decent program. But to jump into the season and get Army, and it's before a bye week, which is nice, but... woof. I don't know.
I'll go a little higher. I'll down, go 21. 21%.
They're down a lot up front.
I really like Army this year. I don't
know.
Like
Devin Bush.
Realistically enough to beat Michigan.
Malik Hudson's back. Okay.
All right. What else?
Dana Holgorsen wins 9 games at Houston this year.
Whoa.
I have it at 36%. And that's because I think it's fewer than 9. I love De'Aaron King.
I love
he's not going to be. He's coming off of a pretty rough injury,
yep.
And even if he gets back to roughly where he was as one of the more underrated players in terms of electricity nationally, buddy, that defense was rough. That back half of 2018, that Houston defense was getting 40s and 50s dropped on him.
Yeah, and the problem with Holgorsen is when you're looking at his skill set, you're not looking at a coach like him and saying, this is a defensive specialist who can come in and immediately make our defense a top 50 unit.
I thought he hired pretty well at West Virginia. I thought Tony Gibson did a good job turning around what started out as a nightmare of a defense for West Virginia and turned them into a downright feisty unit.
I mean, there are immediately two losses on here.
It's going to take some time.
Immediately two losses. At Oklahoma to open up the year. At UCF to open up November. Those are probably two losses.
You're just writing that in as a loss?
That's a loss. That's a loss.
No Mackenzie Milton? Okay.
Brandon Wimbush, baby.
I like the other guy they had at the end of last year.
He was real good, wasn't he?
I mean, not great against LSU, but...
No.
He was fun against Memphis. I have them winning fewer. The schedule is... So they what they lose to SMU and Temple. They don't have Temple on the schedule this year. Yeah, Wazoo, Oklahoma, at UCF, Memphis. I think Brady White's eligible for a ninth year. I don't know what's going on with Navy, but yeah, I think they lose another one beyond that, whether it's Tulane, North Texas. Tulane should be really, really fun up front on defense. So yeah, I have a 7-5 year for Houston in year one, but ascending. I think they're on their way up.
Yeah.
A lot of shootouts. I think they'll be one of the more fun teams to watch nationally. Texas and Oklahoma, again, split the Red River rivalry shootout, whatever, and the Big 12 championship.
Ooh, good question.
One wins the first, and then they not only do they end up, but the other team ends up winning in the championship.
I think it's likely that they're playing each other twice again.
Okay.
So there's at least a chance of it happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you play the same team twice, it is easier. I think it's easier for the opponent to change the result the second time through.
Yeah, it was a super tight game the first time last year.
I love Texas this year because I love Texas every year.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I think Oklahoma's probably got more talent. I will put this one at a straight up 50%.
Really? So not only do they face each other twice, which is not the most likely thing, but it's probably the most likely matchup as we sit now. So not only do they play each other twice, but they split results.
50%.
Okay. I have it at 25.
Okay. I understand the logic.
There's a lot of balls in the air in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Stanford has another Heisman caliber running back. Parenthetically, that will finish second in Heisman voting to a non-Pac-12 player, despite having better numbers. I have it at 6%.
Let's go.
The talent is not in that backfield.
Let's go 6% on this end as well.
I also think they're shifting strategically with KJ Costello being the clear big weapon for this offense. I think they're going to be throwing a lot more. So, yeah, 6% feels about right to me. Arkansas makes a bowl game.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah.
So this is what has to happen. Has to happen.
Yeah.
Arkansas has to start out 4-0.
Yes, I'm looking
at the
schedule.
If they don't start out 4-0, then it's pretty much over. Portland State, Ole Miss, Colorado State, San Jose State, three of those four, the non-Ole Miss game, all at home. So they need to start out 4-0, and we have to have an uncomfortable conversation about, like, yeah, I know they're 4-0, but A&M on neutral fields, and then road games from there, Kentucky, Alabama, LSU. So they have to win those four. They're going to have to hope for some sort of faceplant from Mizzou to finish out the season without Drew Locke. They have Western Kentucky. That has to be the six. I mean, traveling to Kentucky is going to be real tough.
Yeah.
I don't know who gets overlooked. I don't have the letdown look ahead, body blowish, but I still don't see it. I'm still not confident in quarterback, and I'm very, very wary on this defense. So I think their absolute best case scenario this year is 4-8. Because somebody else asked, 4-8 is their best case scenario. And that means winning those three early non-conference and sneaking by somebody. Ole Miss, Mizzou. I don't even know who.
What's,
I guess, 4-8, Kentucky.
So you're saying 4-8 is the best case scenario?
4-8 is the best case scenario for Arkansas this year.
You're not even imagining a scenario in which they could go 6-6.
No, I don't see it. I think there's too much. I think the recruiting that Chad Morris has done has been impressive, and I think it'll continue to be so. There's, I know, a promising blue chip quarterback who's coming in, but I mean, even somebody else asked, just for context, I think it's Zach here. Arkansas wins at least one SEC game, frowny face.
Hmm.
And so it's at Ole Miss and Mizzou for me, and Mizzou's a good team. That's just the fact that they lose Drew Locke is what the only reason I'm going with them. I have it like 19% of them winning at least one in conference.
Odds of them making a bowl, I'll say like 8%.
Michigan wins the Big Ten. So Don Brown,
that's
defense,
it. Year no, over year. No stipulations.
Nope, I'm giving you a qualification. Michigan wins the Big Ten. Picture how that happens. I think it's pretty obvious. Josh Gattis works out. The defense reloads really well, but does not make it to the playoff.
Whoa. All right. First and foremost,
what needs to happen for a Big Ten champion, blue blood Michigan?
Okay.
To not make the playoff.
I am very bullish on Michigan this year.
Yeah.
In some of the very, very early reading I've done on Michigan, I'm going to be very high in the Wolverines this season. Just giving you
your
forewarning.
Fat forget.
Yeah, I am in on the Wolverines.
Mm-hmm.
So if we assume for a second that Michigan is winning the Big Ten, that means in order to do so, they've got to go through a team like Ohio State to do it.
Mm-hmm. At home.
They've got to go through Penn State. They've got to go through Michigan State, who hopefully will be better. Wisconsin, Nebraska.
Completely shelled Penn State last year.
Right. So if you make it through the Big Ten, that's already a hell of a resume.
Yep.
Which you would think should put them in a good position to move forward into the playoff. It then becomes a question of who else around college football is also eligible. Let's assume it's Oklahoma or Texas in the Big 12. Let's assume it's Alabama, again, in the SEC, Clemson in the ACC. I think we're in agreement that whoever comes out of the Pac-12 is probably not going to make that playoff. And I don't think that Notre Dame's going on a repeat performance like they did last year. So if they win the Big 10, I think it's likely that they also get in the playoff. And I'm pretty high in their Big 10 chances. He's saying that they win the Big Ten, but don't go to the playoff.
Correct.
I think it's pretty low that happens. I'll put that at like 5%.
Notre Dame has a bye week before Michigan, between USC and Michigan, which I believe Michigan has before Notre Dame, Penn State on the road. So advantage Notre Dame. All really Michigan has to do to win the Big Ten and not go to the playoff is survive Army, win that game 17-14, and lose comfortably, lose 31-17 to Notre Dame.
Right.
And that's run right. The table in the Big Ten, and all of a sudden we have a comfortable loss and a shaky-ish win. I don't think barely getting by Army is shaky, but like in the minds of on the margin voting, I think that's the scenario. And they'll finish out the season in that scenario, beating Michigan State and Ohio State and whoever, Northwestern, Wisconsin again in the Big Ten championship game. I have it at 12% because it's just hard for me to see a Michigan team.
Yeah, I don't see it.
If they're good enough to be beating Ohio State and a West champion, they should be good enough to beat Notre Dame at home.
I feel pretty good about Michigan's chances there if they win the Big Ten, also making it in the playoff.
Could you imagine a season in which Michigan goes into the Maryland game undefeated, is looking ahead to the bye week, and then just gets shelled at Maryland and finishes out winning the Big Ten, and Michigan has to have the same conversations to talk themselves or to talk other people into Michigan as a playoff team that Ohio State has had to have after losing the way they did to Iowa and Purdue these past couple years?
That Maryland game.
It's one game.
That Maryland game is potentially an open face letdown look ahead sandwich.
Yeah. Oh, it absolutely is open.
And by the way, followed in close succession by the Indiana game, which is the ultimate letdown look ahead sandwich, in between a home game against Michigan State and a home game against Ohio State on the road at Memorial Stadium in Bloomington.
Have you had a chance to figure out your can't fully explain it crushes for 2019? It's very early.
It's very early. You should always assume Texas.
Well, no, I'm saying like last year you were like, you were feeling a little hot and bothered for Indiana.
I was. Yeah, I was.
Like Maryland. I don't know. I don't know. Who is it, Ty?
I don't know yet. I haven't come to that conclusion yet. It will, when it happens though, it's never a situation where I am consciously deciding on the crush. It's always a Harry Potter thing where like the wand chooses the wizard. Okay. It just comes to me.
You wake up in a cold sweat.
I just don't have any
control. Minnesota.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Something like that.
Okay. Syracuse makes a New Year's Six Bowl.
A New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah.
No grungy Eric Dungy anymore.
No, it's all DeVeats.
Yeah. All right. Let's pull up the schedule here.
I've looked at it. There is a path.
There is a path.
They have to beat Clemson in the dome. And they have to, like, very strangely win a tiebreaker with Clemson to win the Atlantic.
If Syracuse were to run the table but lose to Clemson, so they go, okay, they go 11-1.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's likely. Put that at like 8%. But mm-hmm, if they go 11-1 with one loss to Clemson, that still probably gets them in a New Year's Six Bowl game, doesn't it?
11-1, not making, yeah.
Absolutely.
Probably.
Right? So you said they have to beat Clemson. I don't think they have to. They could lose to Clemson. They could lose to someone else. And provided they've got enough clearance in the ACC, otherwise they win enough games. I mean, it's doable.
Liberty, Maryland, Western Michigan, Holy Cross. Not a murderer's row in the non-conference.
No.
And then you lose to Clemson midway through September. And the case for, I love that we're doing this. The case for an 11-1 Syracuse making it, I have it at 9%. I have it at 9% because I think teams are going to be fine in the ACC. I don't think there's a particular standout after Clemson on their schedule. I don't know if you've talked yourself into Pitt or BC or Louisville in year one, but they'll win a bunch of games, but I think they're going like 8-4.
NC State on the road. NC State is copy and pasted from year to year. It's just like a template.
I think the last time we saw NC State, they literally were pasted by Travion Williams.
This is true.
Tweets.
I'll go, what do you say, 8? I'll say, I don't know, 10.
Last year was it was a perfect storm.
10%.
They took advantage being really pretty good.
I can't go 10%. 5%. 5%. I'll root for Syracuse. I'm not rooting against Syracuse, but
sure.
5%.
Tennessee beats Alabama or Georgia. Come on, Rocky Top. Rocky Tie.
I'll say 12%.
12?
12.
Give me 28. I'm feeling saucy, not necessarily because of a love for Tennessee. The Georgia situation is pretty good. I think they have a bye week before Georgia. I mean, Alabama's, it's at Bama. They're going to crush Tennessee. But it's early enough in the season. Georgia, I like a lot this year. We talked about the odds show we did. They have Notre Dame. I think they also have a bye week before Tennessee. But I don't know. There's something about Tennessee this year where I think the Auburn performance last year is a taste of what's to come.
All right.
I like where they're heading. It's going to take a little bit, but 28%.
Fair enough.
Next item. Felipe Franks is actually so much better.
I have to put a percentage on that?
Yeah, he's so much better. Like, you are watching him against Georgia, and you say to yourself, so this is the odds that you are saying to yourself against Georgia, damn, Felipe Franks, where was this version?
Mm-hmm.
Looked good against Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Full year, full off season, Dan Mullen system.
Right.
Big arm.
Didn't we mention Felipe Franks when we did our draft?
Yeah.
Thing?
This was Andy Staples' big theory.
Like, he could be the quarterback
Daniel Jones
that everyone talks themselves into because he's big and he's got the arm. And
yeah.
I don't know. I think Felipe Franks has been caught up in a very weird era of Florida football. There's been a lot of turnover. Mm-hmm. And they haven't really figured out the offense. And, you know, people forget that he came in as a very highly regarded prospect.
People forget.
And it's been somewhat painful to watch him struggle, just knowing that the system hasn't formed around him the way many had hoped. So I think there's a pretty good chance that we've all sold Felipe Franks a little bit short. I do wonder, though, if we're a little too late in his development to actually realize his full potential. So that being said, a full year under Dan Mullen, who we know can coach offense, I think it's more likely than not that we look at Felipe Franks and say, there's a little bit more there than we gave him credit for over the last couple seasons.
What I'm hearing, Felipe Franks has the opportunity to be this season's Danny Etling.
Okay.
Where, and I think it's, I forget who, it might have been the And the Valley Shook. They had stickers like, actually, Danny Etling is pretty good. There was something like that. And actually, Danny Etling was all right. He was all right. Danny Etling, his senior year at LSU, 16 touchdowns, 2 picks, 9 yards per attempt, completed 60% of his passes. That's pretty good. Do you think Felipe Franks can become Danny Etling? It's my new question.
I think he'd be better than Danny Etling.
That's a good line.
Better than Danny Etling?
Is that the threshold? Is that the bar right now?
I mean, it's a hell of a bar.
I mean, he had huge performances against not great schools, but he was good against Auburn, Danny Etling. He was pretty good against A&M later on in that season, I believe.
We're both going north of the Danny Etling-Mendoza line.
It was just the Etling line. I'm saying he's right there. I'm saying he's on the border.
I'm saying he's stopped
and searched in the in the Etling zone on the DMZ. Yeah.
All right. So we got any other percentage questions that we want to tackle here before we move on to greener pastures?
We got a ton of these. Let's see if there's anything. We got a lot of like Clemson, Alabama. Neither Clemson nor Alabama win the national championship.
20%.
Yeah. I mean, I have it a little higher than that. I have 38%, but
okay.
I don't know. Whenever I see Clemson or Alabama's name, I just sort of get bored. I'd rather think about Iowa State winning the Big 12, which Ted did ask us about.
Yeah, this is the problem that both Clemson and Alabama have,
mm-hmm.
at least in regards to this podcast, because when we start getting these questions, it's starting to inch into like, which coach would you like to go on a road trip with territory?
Right.
And we stopped doing that a while ago. Now, we can't avoid Clemson and Alabama questions because they're the two top dogs, but Georgia's probably got something to say. Oklahoma probably got something to say. So, you know, there's always a chance. Ohio State, I don't want to rule out Ohio State or Michigan. But it just feels so likely to me that it's going to be Alabama or Clemson.
You'll be shocked to hear that the ACC network is doing a fluff series about Clemson football.
Right.
Did you see the trailer?
I didn't see it. No.
It's rough.
Okay.
It is rough. Go Tigers and all, but oh.
Yeah.
Iowa State, it should be mentioned because Ted asked, and I'd rather talk about Brock Purdy. This is the stretch they have starting in mid-October. West Virginia on the road. Okay, Neil Brown, first-year coach. Who knows what West Virginia is going to look like. At Texas Tech, okay, another first-rounder or first-year coach. Oklahoma State, okay, they'll be pretty good. At Oklahoma and Texas in consecutive weeks with a bye, I believe, between the Oklahoma schools. I have Iowa State winning the Big 12 at 4%. But damn, do I want it.
I do want it. Yeah, it's low. It's around 4%.
Here's my final percentage, because this is something that's going to be a talking point all year long. Urban Meyer is the new head coach at USC by New Year's Day.
Oh, God, this is going to be a fantasy things category, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the problem with it being fantasy things is Urban Meyer could come out and say, I am done, done, done. Not that it means it.
It does. Yeah. I mean, that's
the
thing.
But it could mean less conversation about it throughout the year.
Urban Meyer coaching rumors is definitely something that needs to get drafted.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen. I think he's done. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to get a cushy TV job with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
either this year or next. I don't know what his official status is, but...
No, he already has it. He already has it. He's doing the Fox. Remember the Game Day
version? That's right. Okay.
On Fox. Yeah.
He's going to get Reggie a cushy Bush. TV gig.
Yep.
And he's going to run with that for a while. He's going to remain a hot commodity, but I think he's done. I think he meant it.
I think so too. And I think USC would probably not be where he goes. He got a taste. He got, I mean, the biggest. You're going to Florida and Ohio State. I don't think he's, I was going to say slumming it, but that was just to be mean. That wasn't because I actually meant it.
Sure.
I don't think he's going to USC. I don't think so. Just because he's doing a TV job and SC looks like it might come out. I have it 11%. I'm never saying never because I think he's a competitive psycho.
Yeah. And I would say 5%.
Okay. And the final one has nothing to do with college football. Dan getting an Alexa.
Oh, God, that's 0%.
It's no longer zero.
No?
6%, and I'll tell you why.
Whoa, breaking news.
Boop, 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 boop. Well, I have Siri on my phone. Oh, God, now my phone is freaking out. When you have a baby in your hands and you want to play music and you don't want to fumble around looking for your phone, it's not going to happen. But I get it a little bit more. Solid Baby is up this to 6%.
Whoa, okay. Already actually, changing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, everything is flipped, turned upside down. I lied and I want to do one more college football one.
Sure.
Kellen Mond finishes the year just because we inexplicably, and I love it, have a lot of Texas A&M people who listen. Kellen Mond is a top two quarterback in the SEC. Can Kellen Mond break the Etling threshold?
He's not a top two quarterback. He's an exciting quarterback, but he's not better than Jake Fromm, and he's not better than Tua Tagovailoa.
Okay. I think this question might be banking on injury or something totally strange happening. We're due for a new Stave yip, right?
We are. If there's an injury at the top, Kellen Mond is among the next tier that could jump up and jump in and take one of those spots. But as it stands now, no, he's not.
Okay. Who is on, if Fromm and Tagovailoa are alone in the first tier, who is with Mond? If Mond is on the second tier, I believe he is.
I mean, it's just so tough to say in the SEC this year, right?
I would say Jarek Guarantano is potentially there. Jake Bentley, potentially there.
Potentially. We don't
know. Joe Burrow?
Yeah, Joe Burrow may. We don't know much about the Auburn situation. We know Bo Nix is going to be the guy, but I don't know. It might be one of those like fantasy situations where Kellen Mond is his own second tier.
Yeah.
Probably Jake Bentley in there, I would say.
He's got to be in that second tier. Joe Burrow or Kellen Mond?
Kellen Mond.
Their stats were actually pretty much identical against SEC teams last year.
I think I'd rather have Kellen Mond.
Yeah, I think so too.
Although the thing with Burrow is that the stats don't reflect how good he was. He was good in spots when he needed to be.
Yeah.
In ways that the stats can't bear out.
I think that's, I don't know. I'd rather my quarterback be more consistent than just like, show up a little, oh my God, there's Joe Burrow. I'd rather have that. Felipe Franks or Kellen Mond?
Kellen Mond.
Okay. Guarantano or Kellen Mond?
Kellen Mond.
Okay. They're all Jake Bentley, Kellen Mond.
Probably still Kellen Mond.
Okay. So I can only gather that you have him as number three then.
I think he's probably my number three, yeah. That's what I'm saying. If there is an injury at the top, he certainly can challenge to get into that tier.
Okay. Well, if his injury's at the top, he's there, according to you.
Yeah.
Unless
he gets hurt too, you never know.
That's true.
So we've now entered the stage of this podcast where if you were here,
we gotta come up with a sound.
I know, we should. If you came here for the college football content, we're going to take a bit of a left turn now and answer some non-college football questions. So we thank you for your download. You're more than welcome to stick around and listen to the remainder of the show, but we have gotten complaints from time to time that, oh, you're veering too far from college football. So we wanted to
it's
let you know.
June.
We will not take it personally if you decide not to listen to what comes next here, but I personally am very excited. to get some of these opinions off my chest. I feel like I've got a lot to offer in this phase of the conversation.
Ty, there's a book that is popular to read to children as they potty train. Do you know what book I'm referencing?
I don't think I do, actually.
There's a book called Everybody Poops, or okay. Everyone Poops.
Yeah.
It binds us all, no pun intended. And it's cool if you came here to listen to college football stuff, but, you know, if you're a fan of Holy Cross, I don't know how much you care about Michigan football. If you're a fan of, I don't know, Washington State, how much do you care about us talking about Felipe Franks and the Etling threshold? Mm-hmm. I get it. But poop talk, everybody's doing that.
Sure.
We ask people for questions about office bathroom etiquette.
I have a question that I've been thinking a lot about, and it comes to us from a gentleman by the name of Trevor.
Okay.
He says, a scenario I have at work, as I'm sure many others do, I work at a college. My office space is one of many in three interconnected buildings. There's a common bathroom, basically, in my office mm-hmm. with two stalls. There is a single bathroom about 1 minute from my office in a quote-unquote different building. Don't know what that means, but okay. Mm-hmm. Should I use the no privacy but convenient bathroom or make the extra effort for the single bathroom when I know I'll be a while?
Right.
So
I mean, this seems like an easy call to me.
You know where I stand on this. Yeah. We get questions all the time about, I'm an upstart podcaster. Where do I start first? what's the first thing I should do?
Yeah.
I respond to a man, to a woman, by saying the first thing that you should do is find your own super secret bathroom.
Uh-huh.
I think that's where you start. Not just in podcasting, but really across all industries.
Life, yeah.
Trevor, the answer here is that you find, you cherish, and you tell no one about that secret bathroom. You treasure that privacy, whatever you can get it, if it's convenient to do so. Now, you know, sometimes you're in between meetings, you can't quite accommodate that privacy, but...
You can't make it a minute.
Right. I think whenever you can, you walk that extra minute, you get that privacy, and you feel better about yourself for doing it, quite honestly.
Do you think that's over-spoiling his system, and then he will have issues when he does have to go places where there isn't privacy?
I have encountered a similar situation, and I will say that there is a bit of a mental recalibration that needs to take place. But if you do it, if you space it out enough, if you don't steer too hard into the bathroom privacy angle, you can train yourself.
Maybe 9 out of 10.
You can train yourself mentally to accommodate pretty much any situation.
I used to work in an office that was basically a loft, a wide open loft, and the bathroom was right smack in the middle, like jutting out from one of the walls. So there was no hiding. You know, you're not walking down hallways to get to the bathroom. There was no hiding who was in the bathroom, who was on their way, who was waiting to go to the bathroom. It was just out in the open for everybody. And when that happens, you can't help but get reputations mm-hmm. about how you leave the bathroom. And so if you are in a shared confined space next to the bathroom, you are going to have to be okay with earning a reputation. Good, bad, whatever. Probably bad. Nobody really earns good bathroom reputations.
No, not really.
And I could tell you right now, I could list off 5 or 6 people I used to work with that dropped absolute bombs.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you could as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
There are just certain people where you're like, I know what's about to go down, and it's a carpet bombing.
Mm-hmm.
So I would skew that direction, but I get it. I get it that you have to sometimes go close. Sometimes you know, the breakfast burrito isn't sitting right mm-hmm. and there's no time.
Yeah.
But I would work in the close one every so often just to get your system used to performing under pressure.
You have to train mentally in this game. It's very important.
Correct.
All right. What do we got next? You got anything else?
I got so many things.
Any other bathroom etiquette questions?
Sure. Absolutely. Quack 12.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Quack 12 podcast. I don't know. Should I attempt to go number 2 quietly in a public restroom or just have at it and finish the job? Is there any situation in which you are not fully devoting yourself to health?
Just have at it and finish the job.
Just have at it.
You know, it's...
Just be Eric Gagne.
I've always felt it's easier
yeah.
in a public place like an airport.
Uh-huh.
a lot less pressure than if you're at a place where you could
potentially... all in it together to just obliterate this room.
I think that's right.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're at your office or a place where you might actually run into someone,
right?
I always worry there's a chance they're going to see my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if someone's nosy, they're going to put two and two together. They're going to figure it out.
Everybody poops, though.
I know, but these are things that I worry about, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a thoughtful individual. So I think in most cases, in a truly public space like an airport, you just have at it. But if you are in a place where you might run into somebody that you know, a coworker, I think you try to make accommodations to sneak it in.
Okay. Because this is a percentile episode, Ty.
Yeah.
If zero is first date, small apartment, thin walls.
Right. Terrible really, situation.
Really like her and want to like make a good impression and not like ruin any sort of vibe. That's sure. A zero.
Yeah.
100 is home alone, 68 degrees inside your house, great night's sleep. You're super hydrated. Everything is just adding up to
wind-aided. Yeah, sure.
You just absolutely being yourself. Mm-hmm. So between zero and 100. 100 being super comfortable, zero being completely blocked and uncomfortable and not wanting to do with anything. What is your work number?
35.
35?
Yeah.
I say anything under 50 means you're cutting things short.
I'm not cutting anything short, but I'm listening.
You're pacing yourself. So 35 at the office. You're at a holiday at your in-laws.
I'm not worried about that.
Okay, so you're 90s?
Yeah. Yeah.
In a house of worship. God's watching.
Let's move on.
You can't give me a number house of worship?
I can't honestly say I've ever encountered the situation in a house of worship.
Okay, here's the better question. You're at Yankee Stadium, unavoidable. Do you want to get in and out as quickly as possible and just do what it takes to get in and out?
Yeah, no.
Or are you fully dedicating yourself to the cause, knowing you're all in it together, it's a disgusting place, it's like an airport bathroom?
I'm doing what I can to...
Middle of the fourth.
Yeah, just do what I got to do, get in and out.
To feel comfortable.
Yeah.
So you're at like a 20 there.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would pretty much go 100 no matter where I am. I'm incredibly selfish that way.
All right. Let's go to this question here from Eric.
Yep.
Why do people try to speak to me in the office bathroom?
Yeah.
It's a private place. Have you encountered this situation?
Sure. For sure.
Have you encountered the situation? So everyone's encountered the situation where there's just an exchanging of pleasantries, just to be cordial. Hey,
usually at the sink.
Usually at the sink.
Or one person in as another person's leaving. Yeah.
I have encountered two situations in the corporate setting that I'd like to discuss here.
Okay.
The first is the full-fledged conversation at the urinal.
Irresponsible.
The second situation that I have encountered, surreptitiously, mind you, is the vendor or presumably someone who is not familiar with the bathroom setup giving himself a pep talk while at the urinal, not knowing that I'm stationed in the stall down the road.
What do the pep talks sound like?
I gotta be honest, a lot
stage
of
stage fright, right?
No, I'm not talking stage fright. I'm talking we've got a big meeting coming up, let's remain calm.
Oh.
Going through the presentation.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay. At the urinal.
I feel like that's just like not knowing your surroundings. Maybe a little too amped up for whatever meeting you've got coming up, but still very weird to me, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
The one where you've got the conversation, standing there at the urinal, I agree, is irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
These are individuals who are raised by wolves. So I don't get that. Otherwise, though, I feel like, Eric, most people are in a similar situation when they're in the bathroom, and you're not sure how much you should commit to the conversation, what you're supposed to say.
Yeah, I'm killing the conversation as quickly as possible.
Exactly. So I guess my question back to you, and you could respond
if you
want. In my
head, I'm hearing Drew Brees going, kill, kill, kill.
Yeah. Right, we can make this a two-way conversation, Eric. Happy to discuss. Mm-hmm. Happy to discuss further. But I need to know more about the depths of this conversation that you're referring to here in your question.
Would you, and every time, there's occasionally times on Twitter where people will say like, hey, could you describe, retweet this with the time you met a super famous person and had like a strange encounter or something like that. And inevitably somebody's like, oh, I saw Roger Clemens in a bathroom or like, blah, blah, blah. I don't know who this person or these people are for you, but who you would fully geek out seeing randomly in public, celebrity-wise. And if you were to pull up next to them at a urinal, if you are trying to just get out a single line, I don't know who that person is.
No, I don't know.
I have a couple guesses. If you park next to Neil deGrasse Tyson, are you trying to say, big fan?
I think I'm overruled by my inner moral compass when it comes to bathroom etiquette. I think I probably wait until we get to the sink, or maybe I pull the move where I, you know, use...
I don't know if that you can count on that. You have this window. This is the only thing you know you have, is you have this window.
But if I get out first, I know where he's going next. I know eventually he must
leave the room.
So that would be the opportunity.
You don't know that you're pulling out first, though.
Pulling out first. Okay.
You don't know that you are exiting the urinal and the partition area before this person who is already there. You don't know if it's
gonna be a marathon or sprint. I mean, maybe you just make sure that you do. I think if I were that intent on starting a conversation, that would be the move. What you couldn't do, though, and this is actually the better question, if you encountered that idol, would you offer your hand to try and shake it, knowing you were both in the bathroom?
You can't do it. You can't do that. You absolutely cannot offer a handshake in the bathroom.
I've had someone offer me a handshake in the bathroom. I was very uncomfortable.
If you were washing your hands and completing your voyage, Neil deGrasse Tyson walks in and is clearly heading to the stall.
Right.
Are you going to try to say something to him? And be like, Godspeed, Neil.
I probably am not quick enough on my feet to come up with something suitable.
So you're just walking out of the bathroom going, damn it, Ty.
I might give him the head nod. Hey, how are you? You know.
Good luck in there, Neil.
Yeah. I don't know.
Very
good question. Actually, Derek asks a very similar question to Eric.
Yeah.
What do you do? Do you talk? No, you try to talk to an absolute bare minimum.
I agree.
What else we got here?
Do you talk to... Okay, here's... If you are walking into the bathroom with somebody... Hey, I'm going to head to the bathroom. Oh, you know what? I'll join you. I'm going to wash my hands. If they're heading into the stall, do you continue your conversation?
Once you enter the restroom, once you cross that boundary, that is the line of demarcation.
Okay.
Once you are on the other side of that, it is like going into the cornfield in Field of Dreams. It's like a whole different world with different rules. So no, I don't think you... I think you try to... You try to find a clean break, a natural stopping point, and you're not doing business while someone's on the pot. You're just
not. Be honest. Will you take out your phone at a urinal?
Absolutely.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is your go-to phone situation?
Unfortunately, it's usually Twitter.
Yeah?
It's usually Twitter, because I don't get to read it much during the day.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not proud to say that, but maybe it's best suited for the bathroom, to be honest.
It's perfect for the bathroom.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. These are all been, let's see. How do you do? Oh, I like this.
Yeah.
This will be our last one. Then I got to head out. I got to go to dinner, Ty.
Okay.
What do you do when someone enters the bathroom and you're in a compromised position?
Compromised position? You're stealing the toilet? What are you doing?
Okay, so if I'm to understand this from our dear, dear friend, Nick Saban Deepfakes, what do you do when someone enters a bathroom and you're in a compromised position? Do you give a courtesy flush or stay as still and quiet as possible until they leave? So you are in the stall. You are taking care of business.
Right.
You are going to the restroom. You're evacuating your bowels.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fine to just keep doing what you're doing. I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of.
I have been in both situations, Dan.
Yeah.
And I would like to get the...
I'm not saying you're walking into like a home bathroom.
Sure.
Like a single use.
Yeah.
I'm saying you're walking into just a regular old bathroom.
I would like to get like the Fangraphs breakdown of how I approach this situation. Just a normal everyday life. But I've been in both situations where the courtesy flush could be applied, usually applied when I've got a meeting to get to.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, I feel like I've trended towards the standoff where...
You're pausing? You're hitting pause?
I'm trying to hit pause.
Oh, Ty.
It's a standoff.
Doing your body a disservice.
It's a standoff. And I have prided myself on winning most of those standoffs, but every now and again, you go up against someone pretty tough.
Oh,
I'm gonna be honest.
I'm so disappointed.
It's uncomfortable when you try to win the standoff and you decide that you can't. Because then there's a situation with the legs falling asleep and it's just not good.
Have you ever been in a clear single-use bathroom and forgotten to lock behind you?
Yes.
And been on the toilet?
Yes.
Did you do the only thing that is allowed to do be done, which is use the third person for whatever reason? I think this is in some comedian's act, but it's you don't say like, "Hi, I'm using it." You say, "Someone's in here."
Yeah.
I've done someone.
That. I've done that.
Not going to tell you who. Someone.
I mean, you're not going to yell like, Matt's in here. You have to go third person.
What about Occupado?
No.
That's popular.
We've really covered
I would love if you were in the bathroom and you went, Ty's using it. Ty time. That'd be cool.
Feels like a George Costanza move.
Yeah.
We covered some ground here. Hopefully we didn't lose too many subscribers.
No, it's
okay. It is June. This is a college football show. And after about 50 minutes or so, I'm going to be honest, we run short. We run short on stuff to talk about. You can always chime in, solidverbal@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. If you're interested after that bombardment of questions, you can still go out, sign up for our newsletter at solidverbal.com. Still tell your friends about the show. Mm-hmm. Anywhere you can find a podcast, you can find this show. We're going to continue talking about college football all off season once a week until we get to maybe like mid to late July, which is actually next month. It's going to be here. Before you know it, that's when we start previewing teams. That's when we start actually gearing up for the college football season because it's going to be here before you know it. We're inside that 100-day mark as of a couple weeks ago. We got all sorts of big plans in the works that we're excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope you'll stick with us for the remainder of 2019 and beyond, Dan.
Merch, fantasy things, live show, possibly shows.
Yeah.
Lot happening.
Absolutely. All right, Dan.
New city. We've never done a big fantasy thing show in this city.
That is correct.
I'm excited.
For that guy over there, my good friend Dan Rubenstein. For myself, Ty Hildenbrand. I'm over here in Eastern Pennsylvania. Mm. We will catch you all in a week. In the meantime, enjoy the rest of your week, all of your weekend. And in the meantime, stay solid.
Peace.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.